this fall when I asked Cindy who she would like to have speak at her installation service. She did not hesitate at all. She clearly had someone in mind that she would like to bring forth the challenge to her during this installation service. And that individual is Peter Ganaway. And his wife, Kathy, was referenced in the video. She has mentored Cindy over the years when she was at Living Word. And so Peter and Kathy have had a played a significant role in Cindy's life over the years. Peter was raised in Chicago and went to a Big Ten school, but not Penn State, but not Ohio State or Michigan. Northwestern, so I guess that's a... also, he, after graduating from Northwestern University, he went on staff for many years with Campus Crusade for Christ and served at the campus of Penn State. So that makes up for your Northwestern degree. Then he also served with Campus Crusade at Slippery Rock University, at Clarion, and at Western Kentucky. He was also a pastor for many years in Maryland, and now he presently serves the Lord as an electrician. Isn't that awesome? Honestly, I think that is great this morning that we have somebody who understands that wherever he's at, he's serving the Lord. So let's welcome to our platform, Peter Ganaway.
Thank you, Jeff.
Lord bless you.
Well, I hear that I served for many years here and many years there. That must mean I'm pretty old, but we'll see. It really is a privilege to be here to share this morning with you. This is a special event in the life of Community Bible Church. It's also a huge event in the life of a really good friend of both me and my wife, Kathy. Speaking of Kathy, Kathy, say hi to the folks. Would you? This is my wife, and she's a great person, and I'm glad that she could be here with us today. And the way I want to structure things this morning is just kind of like a chat of an old friend and an old friend in the faith and talking with a younger friend, Cindy. And I have four things that I want to share with Cindy, and they kind of fall into a grouping that I have entitled, Lord, What Do I Do? And over the years, as I've talked with people that are beginning a relationship with Christ, one question that frequently comes up is, what do I do here? What do I do about that? And I don't have the gift of prophecy, so I'm not able to say, well, here's what you should do. But as I've studied the Word of God, God has given us guidelines for experiencing His will and for knowing what we should do at the moment that we need to know it. And that's what I'm going to be reminding Cindy of. This isn't going to be new information for Cindy. But, you know, as you get into a new situation, it's easy to get so wrapped up in all the details of the new situation that you forget, at least momentarily, you forget some of the things that God has told you in the past. And one of the challenges for Christians as we mature in the faith is to realize that we have a number of truths that we've learned, but we have to bring all those truths to new situations, and we have to learn how to experience God in new situations. So this is going to be the type of conversation that Cindy and I will be having this morning. But I want you all to be listening in, because what I'm saying to Cindy will apply to any of you who have a relationship with Christ and are seeking to follow God more closely in your lives. But first, before I talk to Cindy, I want to tell you all a little something about Cindy that you don't know yet. And this will give you an idea of what Kathy, my wife, and I think of Cindy as a person. A few years ago, Cindy and I were... Let me back up. A few years ago, Kathy and I were revising our wills. And we had had wills written a long time ago, but they were a little bit dated. Our family circumstances had changed. And one of the things that you do when you write a will is you have to ask the question, well, what if both of us die? Who's going to take care of the stuff? And who's going to help our children adjust and to sort through all the material things that Kathy and I would leave behind? And as we thought about it, you know, we were talking who would we trust to have access to all of our financial records, to have the responsibility for paying all the bills that we would leave behind, but also who would care enough about our children and know them well enough to make good decisions for them after we're gone. And, you know, there was only one person that we really trusted, and one person that we not only trusted but knew was competent to handle whatever we might leave behind, and that's Cindy Gardner, because we know her to be an honorable woman and a trustworthy friend. Not only that, but some years ago, her husband died after a very short bout with cancer. And she had no legal experience up to that time, but did a marvelous job taking care of all of Carl's affairs. And I was impressed with how she handled that. And I thought, boy, of all the people I know, Cindy's the one person that we really trust and respect that much, who is also competent to handle these things. And so Cindy is the executor named in our wills. That's how much we think of Cindy. And she's really a very special person. And if you haven't met her yet, get to know her as time goes on, because you'll be blessed by that experience. Okay, Cindy, I have four things that I want to remind you of. They're not new to you, but as you get going in your ministry here, there are things that you can sometimes lose sight of. The first thing I want to remind you of is to keep on studying God's Word and applying it to your life. As I put it here, regularly renew your mind in God's Word. And this instruction comes from His Word, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And Cindy, I've known many Christians for a long time, but you are probably the best Bible student I've ever met. And by Bible student, I don't mean somebody who has sat in classes and heard hundreds of hours of lectures about the Bible. I don't mean somebody who's read dozens of books about the Bible. I mean a person who, day after day, year after year, picks up the Bible and reads it with the idea that God has something to say to her in His Word. And Cindy does that. And she does that more consistently and more effectively than just about anybody else that I know. But Cindy, don't stop, because there's so much here that God has yet to show you. And there are things that you don't know yet that you're going to need to know in the coming months. And for the rest of you, I'd like to say, if any of you find that when you read the Bible, you struggle to get much out of it, let me encourage you, get to know Cindy. And if Cindy should ever, hint, hint, give a seminar on how to feed yourself from the Bible, go to that seminar. It will help you a lot. And like I said, Cindy is a tremendous Bible student. And she is a wonderful example to others. But Cindy, keep on, because there is much here that God has yet to reveal to you, but He will as you continue in His Word. The second thing, Cindy, I'd like to remind you about is to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit every day. Be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. You know, Cindy is very gifted. God has given her a number of personal talents, some spiritual gifts, and also many experiences. And Cindy, sometimes the temptation that all of us face once we have a little experience under our belt, once we feel, okay, I kind of know how to do this thing now, there's the temptation to stop trusting God and just relying on, hey, I know this stuff. Or, yeah, I mean, I know more about children's ministry than anybody else here, and, you know, I'm just going to kind of fly along. Don't do that. And you know better than that, but I just want to remind you that no matter what you do, whether you are the head of children's ministry, whether you're the senior pastor, whether you count the money, print the bulletins, whatever it is that you do in life, and as I'm experiencing being an electrician working on large construction sites, it's all spiritual. And if you think you can do it simply because you're qualified, you're really going to struggle. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we read this. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And talking to the rest of the CBC family for just a minute, this is a fascinating verse, because Paul is using getting drunk as an example of what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. And you think, well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Well, think about this. What happens when a person is drinking a lot and starts to get drunk? Well, the more they drink, the more they tend to say things that they normally wouldn't say. And the more they tend to do things that they normally wouldn't do. It's the same way with being filled with the Holy Spirit over time. We discover that as we allow the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us and control our thoughts and actions, we start to say things that we normally wouldn't say. And we start to do things that we normally wouldn't do. The big difference between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit is that when you find out what you said when you were drunk, and you find out what you did when you were drunk, you're often mortified. You're so embarrassed and ashamed of some of the things you said and did. On the other hand, though, as people tell you, as you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you grow in your relationship with Him, and you learn how to trust Him to work around you, you begin to get feedback from people. And they'll say, you know, when you said this, this is how it affected me. This has had a big impact on my life. Or, you know, when you did this, this is how it affected me. And thank you so much. And you're thinking, I had no idea. And you know what? That is so exciting. One of the greatest thrills that I have in my life is when God uses me to touch somebody else's life. That's one of the greatest thrills in my life. And those of you who have a relationship with God, as God starts to use you to touch other people's life, you'll think, wow, I want to get more of this. And the way to get more of that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, for some reason, and I don't know why this is, but it's one of the hardest things for Christians to grasp. It takes a lot of thinking about how is it that you're filled with the Spirit. And I don't know why it's so hard for us to understand, but it is one of the hardest things to grasp. And if you're thinking, you know, I'd really like to be filled with the Spirit, I'm just not sure what to do, I know somebody who can help you. And she's sitting right here, and her name is Cindy. And I would encourage you to hang around Cindy if you really want to get an idea of what it looks like in somebody else's life when they're filled with the Spirit. And you might even ask her, well, Cindy, tell me a little bit about this. In fact, if you really want to know how to be filled with the Spirit, I strongly recommend you volunteer in children's ministry. Hang around Cindy, and you'll get the picture. You really will. You don't actually have to volunteer in children's ministry, but it would help, I'm sure. So, Cindy, that's the second thing. But, of course, as you know from experience, even when you're filled with the Spirit, from time to time, our sin nature just pops up when we least expect it. And we find that all of a sudden it's like, well, where did that attitude come from? Or why did I do that? You know, I don't want to be that way. And you can be walking with God. You can be having a great day. And all of a sudden, the slightest little thing that can happen, and you'll sin. Well, what do you do in that situation? You breathe spiritually. Cindy, always breathe spiritually anytime you need it. Now, what do I mean by breathe spiritually? Cindy understands. But when you breathe, what do? Well, you breathe out the impure air and you breathe in the pure. Breathing spiritually is much the same way. As when you sin, not because you are intending to sin, not because you're rebelling against God, but it's just kind of like there's a little flash of intense activity from your sin nature, you just stop and you exhale. That means you confess your sin. As it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you just stop, you say, Lord, I confess that to You. That was a sin. And I thank You that You've forgiven me. And then you inhale. You breathe in. You say, Holy Spirit, take control of my life again. Fill me with Your presence. And you just keep walking with Him. And you don't have to break fellowship with the Lord. But you'll have to do it from time to time. Not that things aren't always wonderful here at CBC. But you know how it is with our sin natures, even in the best environment. Sometimes that old sin nature pops up when you least expect it. That happens to all of us. Just breathe spiritually. Okay, the third thing that I want to remind you of and also encourage you in is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That is to thank God often for all that you have. And in all that happens. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's much here, but I just want to remind you of a couple things. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Now, listen to the next phrase, all of you. For this is God's will for you. When you wonder, What am I supposed to do? What should I do next? God says, I'll tell you. Here's what you do. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is God's will for you. Now, there'll be times when thanks is just overflowing. And there'll be times when it's like, I don't see a whole lot to be thankful for at the moment. But that's the time that you most need to be thankful. Because, you know, when times are difficult and we're having a woe is me day, that's the time that we all need to start giving thanks to God. Because you know what happens when you give thanks to God? You start to realize all that God does for you all the time. And as you do that, it really changes your heart. So, Cindy, give thanks in every situation. Give thanks all the time. There's a lot here to be thankful for, but there will be moments when it's like, boy, I'm not real too pleased with this. That's the best time to give thanks. And then the last thing I want to remind you of is to love everyone all the time. Love everyone all the time. Now, we tend to, in our minds, think of everyone as all the people we like. That's not what it says. It says love everyone. The people that are driving when you leave here today, the other drivers out there, God's will is for you to love them. The people that you work with at work, the people in your family, your neighbors, not just the nice ones, but the ornery ones as well. Let's see what Jesus has to say about this in Matthew 22. Jesus is having kind of a heated discussion with some of the Pharisees. And when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And what they were expecting Jesus to do is to pick one out, and then they would all jump on him and say, no, it's not that one. It's how about this one over here? And they were hoping to ensnare him in a big legal argument. But Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus goes on to tell them. He said, if you take all the rules, all the laws, all the commandments in the Old Testament, and you put them together in one great big ball, the two things I just said to you, love God totally and love your neighbor as yourself, covers every one of those commandments. So the next time you're wondering, and Cindy, the next time you run into a situation, you're wondering, gee, what do I do here? God's will is for you to love everybody that's involved in that situation. The crying child, the grumpy parent, the person who just doesn't like the material that you're using in children's ministry, the person who wants different murals on the wall or whatever it may be. Or so it may just be somebody was sick and didn't show up today. What is God's will? It's for you to love every one of those people. And what is God's will for us? It's always to love everybody all the time. Cindy, you keep those four things in the front of your mind, and you will have a wonderful time here. And God will work through you as in the future, as He has in the past, to produce much fruit to His glory. I'd like to just offer a prayer for Cindy. Cindy, would you just stand up right where you are? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Cindy. I thank you that as she was a young girl, you reached out and touched her. And you have been drawing her closer and closer to you all these years. You've watched over her and protected her. And now you've brought her here to CBC, Community Bible Church, to serve you as their children's ministry director. And I thank you that your hand is on her life. I thank you that you have given her gifts and abilities and experiences and training that are well suited to the work that needs to be done here. But most of all, you have given her yourself, your presence inside of her. And Lord, I pray, keep her always close to you that she might be fruitful for your glory and she might be a blessing to the church family here. We ask this in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that blessing and challenge, Peter.
My pleasure.
This time, Cindy, we'd like for you to make your way to the platform. We have a little surprise for you, a way to bless you this morning. So come stand next to me, and there's some children backstage that have something they want to say and present to you. They're going to stand here. They're going to hand you flowers, and you can place them in the vase.
Unmistakable, your direction is forward. Your heart is genuine, your strength is supernatural, your reward is promised.
And your God is real.
In a world of cynicism, you offer hope. In a world of confusion, you offer truth.
In a world of immorality, you offer values. In a world of neglect, you offer attention.
In a world of abuse, you offer safety. In a world of ridicule, you offer affirmation.
In a world of division, you offer reconciliation. In a world of bitterness, you offer forgiveness.
In a world of sin, you offer salvation.
In a world of sin, you offer God's salvation.
Love.
In a world of hate, you offer God's love.
You refuse to be dismayed, disengaged, disgruntled, discouraged, or distracted.
Neither will you look back, stand back, fall back, go back, or sit back.
You do not need applause, flattery, adulation, prestige, stature, or veneration.
You do not have time for business as usual, mediocre standards, small thinking, outdated methods, normal expectations, average results, ordinary ideas, petty disputes, or low vision.
You will not give up, give in, bail out, turn over, lie down, quit, or surrender.
You pay when things look bad, you pay when things look good.
You will move forward when others stand still, you will trust God when obstacles arise.
You will work when the task is overwhelming. You will get up when you fall down.
The call is right to place the gas for God.
It is too serious to be taken lightly, too urgent to be postponed, too vital to be ignored, too relevant to be overlooked, too significant to be trivialized, too eternal to be fleeting, and too passionate to be quenched.
You know your mission, you know your challenge.
You also know your limitations, your weaknesses, your fears, and your problems.
And you know your God.
Let others get the praise, let the church get the blessing, and let God get the glory.
You are a missionary, you minister to children.
This is who you are, this is what you do.
Yeah, you guys can go.
This is the words framed for me.
At this time, I'd like Keith Brenner and the elders who are in the service to make their way to the platform. Why don't we move forward up here a little bit and gather around Cindy and place a hand on her shoulder if you can. As many of you know, Cindy actually started here this fall, and so we've had the opportunity to get to know her and to work with her. And again, we're just so thankful that God in His sovereignty and His providence has prepared Cindy for such a time as this in the life of Community Bible Church. And so join with us in praying for Cindy. Keith, why don't you begin, and then I'll close.
Father, we thank you so much for this time this morning. Lord, we thank you that we were first and foremost reminded that you have placed a call on each and every one of us here today for a role to play in the kingdom that you've created. So we thank you for that, and we acknowledge that. But this morning we're gathered to celebrate the role that you have called Cindy to do right here among this local body at CBC. Father, we thank you that it started out as her listening to the Holy Spirit. Then, Lord, her heart acting in obedience to what it was that he was asking her to do. And we thank you that the result of that is you have brought Cindy to us to minister to the needs of the children among us. Father, thank you for the blessing that they are. And we thank you for this lady who has been called for this specific time in this specific place for these specific children. And Lord, I would ask that as she gives oversight to this ministry, that she would continue with those two things of first listening to the voice of God and then a heart that obeys the direction that he is asking her to go. We thank you for bringing her to us. We wait to see, Lord, what will unfold in her ministry among the children and her interaction with the adults and the leadership of this body. In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we declare and acknowledge this morning that this service is not about Cindy. Lord, it's about you, and it's about your purposes being accomplished in Cindy's life and in the life of this family. Lord, we pray that the challenge that Peter gave to her, gave to each one of us, Lord, would be lived out in her lives and our lives. Lord, we are so thankful for your written word that you have read, that you have preserved. Lord, may it continue to nurture and give life and guidance and direction to Cindy. Use it to mold her and to grow her. Lord, we're also thankful for your Holy Spirit that dwells within her and each of us who have put our faith in your Son. Lord, we pray that you would lead her and guide her, that she would experience what Peter talked about, that you would use her to minister to people and to touch lives in ways that she's not even aware of because your Spirit is working in and through her. Lord, we are so thankful that we can give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, we're thankful for the way that has been lived out in Cindy's life. And again, Lord, we pray that you would not only empower her by your Spirit to give thanks, but to love all of us all the time. Lord, we confess, Lord, I confess that I'm hard to love sometimes. So give Cindy the grace to love me, to love the elders, to love the parents, to love the children, especially when we're hard to love. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that will empower her to do what you've called her to. And Lord, we're, again, want to take all that was said this morning and offer it up to you as praise. And pray, Lord, that what you have meant for each individual here to take hold of this morning, Lord, that you would seal it by your Spirit to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I trust that even though the service was a challenge to Cindy, that God was able to use it to speak and to minister to your hearts this morning. So, Cindy, I'm not sure exactly what your plans are, but it'll probably be good if you make your way to the foyer because I think there'll be a lot of people here who want to greet you and affirm your ministry to us. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Lord, may you continue to be exalted in our lives as we go forth this week. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Lord, bless you.